Let's take our Bibles at this time and let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. As we finish our series this morning that we've been talking about the last several weeks called Details Matter. And as you're turning, let me just give you a couple things you need to know about. Next Sunday, it'll be a new year, and we start a brand new series next Sunday entitled The One on the Throne. We'll be going through in 2026, going through the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings as we go verse by verse through the book of Revelation. And I'm excited and also super intimidated. Just know I need prayer as we go through on Sunday mornings. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a great study together. I've learned a lot just going through verse by verse, just reading and just going the last several months looking at what the Lord has for us. And next Sunday is also our theme Sunday, where we'll unveil our theme for 2026 and some of our goals we'll be talking about next weekend as well. So hope that you'll make plans to be with us and invite somebody if they don't already have a church home. And maybe the book of Revelation is something that would intrigue them, or maybe something that may answer some questions for them. Invite them. We'll have some invite cards for you in the next several weeks that you can pass out. Invite folks to our series, and all of that will be live streamed. On Wednesday nights, we don't have our midweek service this week because of New Year's Eve, but on Wednesday nights, we'll be going through in the new year a new study called Major Lessons from Minor Prophets. And we'll be going through in 2026 all of the minor prophets. We'll start with the book of Joel in the Old Testament prophet Joel, those three chapters. So we'll start there the first Wednesday of the new year and looking forward to new studies together. And if you would like to pick up one of the journals, we've got several folks who have already got them. Let me just give out the disclaimer. I did not write this, okay? This is not a book. I am not an author. I didn't write it. Somebody had me sign it this morning. I didn't write it. I'm just letting you know. I did not write this. I wrote the letter on the front cover. There you go. You're welcome. And then the note on the back, I wrote that, outside of that. But the journal is a really cool option for you if that's something that you'd like to do. Has blanks on one side of the page, has verses on the other side, so you can follow along in our study starting next Sunday morning. But they're in the lobby. If we have any left, we had 100 of them, and a bunch of people have already picked them up, saw people carrying stacks of them. So if you want one, get it this morning. As long as we have them, you're welcome to get those. You pick them up, the ladies in the lobby will take care of you. And we also have cards that say, don't miss out. It's all of our events and major events that we'll have in 2026, starting with our January jumpstart 3 weeks from today. All of those events are on there. Get one of those cards in the lobby. You can pick it up on the way out, and that'll help you as you plan your calendar for 2026. If someone asked you what part of your life was being led by the Lord, what would you say? How would you respond if someone said, are you living your life being led by the Lord? What does that even mean? You know, if somebody says, I'm following the Lord, how do we know that? What indicators do we have to show that someone is truly following the Lord? Are we living totally surrendered to the Lord and His leading for our lives? In the Christmas story, there is a man in Luke chapter 2, kind of after the birth of Jesus, kind of gets tucked away. There are two people here that we see, and a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna, and we don't really know a lot about them. They're only mentioned here in Luke chapter 2. They're not mentioned again in the Bible. But the Lord points out very clearly in this man Simeon's life that he was led by the Lord. He was brought to the temple. He was led to go to the temple on a certain day at a certain time, who was living his life literally waiting to die. He didn't really have anything else that he had to accomplish. He wasn't trying to achieve a certain financial status. He was not trying to retire and go out on top. He wasn't trying to climb a corporate ladder. He was literally waiting to die. And we don't really know how old Simeon is in this story. A lot of commentators believe that he's at least 100 years old. He's an older man. But he's been given a singular promise. You're not going to die until you see the Christ. You're not going to die. Imagine that. You're not going to die until you see the Redeemer, the Messiah. What a promise. And as he came to the temple day after day, maybe wondering, is today the day? Is it going to happen today? And so as we see Simeon in this story, we understand that he was led by God, but what if he hadn't gone that day? What if he said, I'm tired, or I got something else going on? What if he had not gone that day following the leading of the Lord? What would have happened? And maybe he wouldn't even have been mentioned in Scripture. But whatever the reason he went, he submitted himself to the Lord's leading that day. And I want us to see how we can follow him today. I'm not worried about next week. We might not have it. We're not going to worry about last week because it's in the past and we can't change it. But how do we follow the Lord today? So let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25. All right? It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I have seen the promise fulfilled. Jesus' name means Jehovah saves. God saves. It's the Old Testament equivalent of the word Joshua, Yeshua. And so we see that he is led, but how much does it matter if you are led by the Lord? Let's pray and then we'll dive into our text. Father, we thank you so much for your word and thank you for reminding us of the importance of being led by you day by day. Lord, help us not to focus on the future, next week, next month, next year. Lord, help us not to focus on the past and give attention there because we cannot change it. Lord, help us to ask ourselves today, am I following you today? Am I being led by the Lord today? And Lord, because today adds up to the future. Lord, I ask that you please help us to see ourselves in this text and ask ourselves that question, am I being led by the Lord? Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, they're not a follower of Jesus, they don't have a relationship with you, please help them to see their spiritual need today and help them to address that need today. Lord, please speak to my heart. Please cleanse me of any sin unconfessed that may hinder me from being used this morning. Please speak to me. Thank you for the worship this morning. All of the attention has been on you. Lord, what you came to accomplish by dying on a tree, by dying on the cross. Lord, you are here this morning. You are the King of Kings, and we behold the wondrous mystery that you would love fallen man enough to send us your Son. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and what you desire to accomplish today. Please receive our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're taking notes, you can write down three thoughts. Number one, we see the submission that is mentioned, the submission. After the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph had several things that they had to do, several things that the law required, and then several things that the angel of the Lord had told them to do. And in these things, we see that they did two things. They did, one, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. In verse number 21, it says that they, after 8 days were accomplished, the child was circumcised, accomplished for the circumcising of the child. His name was called Jesus. Remember, the angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter number 1 in verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then we see that the angel told Mary in Luke chapter 1 verse 31, said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. They had a choice. Just like Zacharias and Elizabeth, remember when the angel said, call his name John. This could have been Joseph Jr. carrying on the family business, carrying on the carpenter work, carrying on the family heritage, that lineage. But that was not God's plan for his son. His goal, his mission, his plan was for him to accomplish his father's business and carry out that name above all names that we heard about in the video a moment ago. Warren Wiersbe said about that name, great names come and go, but the name of Jesus remains. The devil still hates it. The world still opposes it. But God still blesses it, and we can still claim it. In the name of Jesus is the key that unlocks the door of prayer and the treasury of God's grace. It's the weapon that defeats the enemy and the motivation that compels our sacrifice and service. It's the name that causes our hearts to rejoice and our lips to bring Him praise. Think about the fact that by obeying the voice of the Lord, they made a way for all the attention and the spotlight to be on Jesus. All of the attention. If his name would have been Joseph Jr., JJ, if his name would have been Joseph Jr. or Junior, not Indiana Jones, not that Junior, but you know, Indiana, not Indiana. Think about brain focus. But think about if his name would have been Junior, all of the attention would have been on Joseph. All of the attention would have been in the wrong place. But because they obeyed the voice of the Lord, all of the attention was on him. Here's the question this morning. The decisions that you and I make on a day-to-day basis, do they place the focus on him or on you? Do they place the focus and the attention on the Lord or on ourselves? Not only did they obey the voice of the Lord, number two, they obeyed the teaching of the law. In verse number 22, the Bible tells us, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Can you imagine what they would have said, or what would have happened if they had said, you know, we understand who he is, and we think that God would understand if we don't take this journey. Have you ever thought about that? What would have happened if Mary and Joseph would have said, no, we don't need to do this? You know, because of who he is, he's God, by the way. We know who he is. We don't have to do this. We're not obligated because we have God's son. He's ours, so we don't have to fulfill all of this stuff. It's just extra anyway. We don't have to do this because we have God on our side. Because of who he is, we don't have to do that. Can you imagine the response, the outcry of Mary and Joseph, who were righteous people, who walked with the Lord, who spent time with God, if they would have all of a sudden about face said, no, it's not that big of a deal. See, according to the law of Moses, on the eighth day, a male child was required to be circumcised. We see that they did that. They performed according to the law. But the woman's purification period after a male child was born was 40 days, 80 days if it was a female child. So it says very clearly in verse number 22 that they followed the purification process, and 40 days after his birth, he shows up with his parents or with Mary and Joseph as to be presented in the temple. They were following the law and what the law demanded. Not only that, but it says in verse number 24, they also came to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves. The gift that was expected or required was a lamb, but there was also an exception given in the law of Moses. If a family could not afford a lamb, they could offer two turtle doves or two pigeons in its stead. By them giving this offering of these two birds, we assume that Mary and Joseph are not wealthy people. They are very poor people. They are very humble. And even Mary said in Luke chapter 1, verse 48, talking about the Lord, he hath regarded the low estate of thine handmaiden, of his handmaiden. She is saying, I am of a humble background. I am a nobody. I am not someone who has any kind of monetary significance. And that stands out to me because they could have used that as an excuse not to partake in what was required. But the thing is, they did not allow their hardship to hinder their obligation to obey. Let me say that again. They did not allow their hardship to hinder them from their obligation to obey. How many times have we in our lives said, you know what, that's just too hard. I don't want to do that. You know, I know what it says in the Bible, but I just don't want to do that. That's too difficult. I know what the Bible says about being faithful and honoring the commitments that I've made to the Lord and, you know, honoring my spouse and submitting to the Lord and being faithful in all these areas. I know what it says, but I just don't want to. They did not allow their hardship to hinder their obligation. They just obeyed because it was right. They just obeyed because it was the right thing to do. Think about Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1 when it talks about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. It's not, we don't just obey because there's a verse in the Bible. We obey because it's right. It's the right thing to do. Just like following the Lord. It is the right thing to do. Did you know that as Christians, we should obey? Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey. If you love me, do the right thing. And it would be super easy for us to say, you know what? Because we're under God's authority, utmost authority, we don't have to obey all these other little things. But how do you explain when Paul talked about in Romans chapter 13, in verse number 1, when he said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers? I don't like that verse. Because there's some higher powers that I don't get along with. There's some higher powers that I don't agree with. There's some things that our government does that I don't like, that I think are wrong. But I'm supposed to subject or submit myself to the authorities that God has placed over me. Why? Because God knows what He's doing. Amen? God knows what He's doing. Even when I don't like it, He still knows what He's doing. See, God has placed us in a society that has laws for us to follow, people to submit to, not in an effort to hurt us. God is trying to open a door for us to be able to speak about Him. That is His ultimate goal for our lives, that we would live in such a way that it leaves the door open for us to be able to proclaim His name. You know, that is our purpose. That's our mission. That's what makes us a church, y'all. The fact that we proclaim His name instead of ours, that's what sets us apart. That's what makes us distinct. And by obeying the voice of the Lord, by following His leading, you're allowing yourself to be a part of that process. Have you ever been maybe filling up your gas tank or maybe at the grocery store or maybe just out and about, maybe shopping at Target? God forbid you go to Walmart this week. But all those return lines going out the door, all this crazy, all this stuff. Anyway, it's just not worth it. The discount's just not worth it, okay? But what if God, while you're in one of those places, nudges your heart and says, hey, that person right there, I want you to be a blessing to them. You ever felt that? You ever felt? I think all of us, if we're following the Lord, all of us at some point have felt something like that. You know, hey, it might not be pay for that $300 gas bill that they have or pay for that, you know, that big grocery bill and they've got four carts lined up. That might not be it. It may. But what do we do when God kind of pushes our heart? What do we do when God says, hey, you ought to be a blessing to them? What about if it's not monetary? What if it's just, hey, they need to be loved on? What about, hey, that person needs to know that somebody cares about them. You go tell them. Me? That's our typical response, right? God, what do I have to offer? I don't have anything. I don't know what to say. I don't have anything. Have you seen my bank account? You know that I don't have anything. I mean, come on, God. But by us refusing to obey, you know what we're doing? We're not only hurting ourselves by being a blessing, we're also hurting someone else who needs to be blessed. What if that person is praying, God, would you make yourself real in my life? And God puts you in their path. How about obeying the voice of the Lord? How about saying, hey, I'm going to be led by the Lord? That's what it means. To be led by the Lord is to be submissive to His call. When He speaks to us, we obey. When He leads us, we follow, no matter what that is. How about Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27? Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. If we have opportunity and availability, then we should be obedient. The submission. These people submitted themselves. I'm sure it wasn't convenient for them to travel all the way to Bethlehem. I'm sure it wasn't convenient for them to go all the way to Jerusalem for this process, but they obeyed. They submitted themselves. Not only that, do we see the submission. Number two, we see the servant. In verse number 25 through 29, Simeon is a simple man that we know very little about, but what we know gives us some major details in regards to the purpose that Jesus came. Number one, we see his righteous behavior. This man was righteous. It says he was just and devout. And at the end of verse 25, it says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. It goes without saying that Simeon is a guy who walks with God. He is someone who follows the Lord. And I think it's interesting that each of the people who are mentioned in the Christmas story, the Bible gives us very specific details about their lives that shows us that they walked with God. Every single one of these people walked with the Lord. Every person who came in close contact with Jesus walked with God. Let me say that again. Every person who comes in close contact with Jesus walks with God. You know what that tells me? You can't encounter Jesus without a relationship with him. You're not just going to accidentally, oh, there's Jesus. No, we purposely, intently seek him. We desire him. We pursue him. And when we get in close contact with Jesus, we will have a desire to walk with him. We want to spend time with him. When we see what he's done and who he is and how he has blessed our life, we can't help but love him. We can't help but want to serve him. We can't help but want to follow him. And whatever that means, we want to spend time with him. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said it like this: the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. Are you surrendered to him today? Have you surrendered your life? And we'll have no idea how God can use us until we get to that place where we surrender all to him, where we say, no matter the cost, I'm going to completely yield my life to him. We see a couple things about Simeon, that two words, just and devout, two Greek words. The word just is dikaios, and it means to be righteous, to be found righteous in the sight of God. It's the same word used to describe Joseph in Matthew chapter number 1. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. But it also uses the word here in verse 25 that he was a devout man. It's the Greek word eulabes, and it means to be careful. Now, I don't necessarily know that I understand why it says that he was careful until you pair that with the fact that he was righteous. It doesn't just say that he was devout. It says that he was devout and righteous. You know what that tells me? When you put those two together, it means that he was careful in his walk with the Lord. He was careful in his walk with the Lord. You know, the same word is used to describe another guy in the Bible, that word devout, in Acts chapter 22. Remember the guy named Ananias who ministered to Saul, who became the Apostle Paul? Ananias, it says in Acts 22 verse 12, it says, one Ananias, a devout man. There it is. He was careful. Remember when God spoke to Ananias and said, hey, Ananias, I want you to go and I want you to minister to this guy. His name's Saul. Have you heard of him? And he says, are you kidding me? I don't want to talk to that guy. Are you sure? Do we have a bad connection? You know, are we talking about the same person? I mean, are we talking about the same persecutor of the church? That Saul? Is that the guy that you're talking about? Remember, he was cautious. Now, ultimately, he did obey. But his first response was one of caution. He was devout. If we were leaving this morning and we were dismissed, we said, all right, let's go to our cars. If on the way out you saw little flags in the parking lot on the way to your vehicle, just little flags all over the parking lot, you say, hey, what do those mean? That's where the landmines are. You would carefully approach your vehicle, or you'd say, do anybody have a sleeping bag or a pillow? And we're staying here. But we would carefully go to our vehicle. We would take great caution in how we leave this place today. And that's the same way we're supposed to live our lives with the Lord. We're supposed to take caution in how we live for Him. We're supposed to be devout. Now, let me ask you this morning, how cautious are you with your walk with the Lord? How much thought do you place into walking with Him? Colossians chapter 4, Paul, that same guy, said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Do we take account of our steps? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, Solomon said, ponder the path of thy feet. Look and see what direction your feet are headed, because you will not go in a direction where your feet are not already planted and headed. You know, feet go that way. No, they're pointed this way. I'm not going that way because they're pointed. It's just simple. But are we cautious in our walk with Him? We see that He was righteous. Not only that, we see His righteous behavior. We see, number two, His revelation. Verse number 26 tells us that while he is waiting for the Lord, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. We see the Holy Ghost makes him a very simple promise. And because of his walk with the Lord, he was given this message: before you die, you will see the Christ that you've been waiting for. Now, if this guy was this old, okay, if he was 100 years old, let's just, for sake of illustration, if he's an old man, how long had he known this promise? Was this something that he just heard? Or was this something that he had heard years before? Imagine showing up at the temple every single day wondering, is it today? Is today the day? Am I going to see him today? He didn't get that message of, okay, when the day comes, I'm going to tell. No, it was just, you're not going to die until you see the Christ. That was the only message he had. And he lived with that constant anticipation. So about us today, how does that apply to me, preacher? What if we came to church with the same anticipation? I'm going to meet the Lord today. What if today was the day that God does something miraculous? He does that every week, by the way. Every single week, he does that. Over and over and over again. We saw it last Sunday night in our candlelight service. And when we saw the entire room filled and all those white plastic chairs and people were hauling in 5 minutes before service and people standing in the back and sitting in the lobby, that is God showing up and showing out. That's what he does, by the way. It's just awesome to be able to see it. And we act surprised when he does it. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. He just does it all the time. We should be used to it. But think about the fact that he showed up in anticipation every single time that he came to the temple. Hey, how about us? Do we live with that kind of anticipation? What if we live with that kind of anticipation for his return? I'll ask you a simple question this morning. And I can say yes to this question because I read my notes this morning while I was having breakfast, okay? I'll ask you a question. Did you wake up this morning thinking today could be the day? Did you have breakfast this morning thinking today could be the day? Are we living with a constant state of anticipation that he's going to return? Not that he could return. He's coming. He's coming at some point. And think about, have we thought about his return at all? Have we anticipated today? One of these days, it'll be the last day. I say all the time, people say, I told Steve when he sang last Sunday night, right before he got up, I said, sing like it's the last time. Because one of these times, it's going to be the last time. The last special will be sung, the last message, Brother Mike, the last message is going to get preached. We have no idea when, who, how, where, all of those things, but it's going to happen. And Jesus is going to come because he said so in his word. That's why he said, Matthew 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. Not just his return, but we could die today. Welcome to church. We could die today. At 5 o'clock this morning, one of our church members went to see Jesus. Brother Charles Driver So you sit right back there where Miss Pat's sitting. His wife's name is Pat, by the way. But Brother Charles went to see Jesus this morning at 5 o'clock. Hey, you don't know. Well, none of us know when we're going to see him. Do we live with anticipation that today could be the day? James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor. You think about your life in comparison to eternity, we ain't got long. We don't have much time. And all Simeon had was a promise from God that he was going to see the Christ. And until then, he was immortal. Think about that. You're not going to die until you see Christ. So really, he lived knowing, until it happens, I'm going to be here. Do we live with that kind of mentality? Hey, until the Lord calls me home, I'm here. I'm going to be all in while I'm here. With the time that I have left, I'm going to give it all for Jesus. I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to be led by him in every area of my life. What all could the Lord do in your life if you weren't afraid of dying? If you weren't afraid of something happened to you or something changed in your life or your job changed or your family structure changed, what could the Lord do in our life if we weren't living under a state of fear but instead having a state of anticipation? It could be today. It could be today. Not only his reward, not only his revelation, but his reward is the last thought under that point. Not only his righteous behavior, his revelation, his reward in verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. I like that. By the Spirit. You know what that tells me? He was walking so close to the Lord that when the Lord said, go, he went. That's what that means. He went by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. How did Simeon know? You know, there's people all over the place. And there's people worshiping. There's people paying their tithe. There's people over here sacrificing. How did Simeon know that's him? You know how he knew? He was tuned in. Simeon was so attuned with the Lord that when the Lord spoke, Simeon heard. Simeon was so finely tuned with the Lord speaking. You know what that tells me about Simeon? It wasn't the first time. You know why I think sometimes we get shocked when God speaks to us? Because it doesn't happen that often. And we know it. Hey, I'm not pointing fingers. I know I got fingers pointing at me, okay? Think about it. When he speaks, we should know exactly the sound of his voice. We should be able to pick out his voice above any other voice, above any other sound. Remember Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10? And Eli perceived that it was the Lord speaking to Samuel. He said, hey, go lay back down. This is what you say. And God speaks to Samuel and says, he called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, I'm listening. I'm listening. I hear you, Lord. Just tell me what you want me to do. And that's how we should live our life. There's so many times that we get caught up in everything else, all the other noise around us, that we forget his voice. And we can't hear him speak.
Battery 60%.
Yes. I'm glad. I'm glad you're connected. All right, this is awesome. Now, think about noise in our life. You know, we play noise in our bedroom to go to sleep. This is really loud. So much so that it's hard to hear John laugh from the front row. I can see you guys, but I can't hear you. If you were trying to carry on a conversation with me, I can't hear your voice because I've got noise that I'm listening to. You know, we have all kinds of noise that we listen to in our life, all kinds of just fog that we listen to. You know what the fog of our life is? Our day-to-day life, our schedule, our routine, our jobs, the things that really, when Jesus comes, they're not going to really matter. You know, just like how many appointments I had. Did I get my teeth cleaned on time? Did I make that appointment? Did I go to the eye doctor? All those things. When Jesus comes, unless your eye doctor is going to heaven too, it doesn't really matter, okay? I'm not saying don't go. Okay? That's what I'm not saying. But think about it. There's just noise that we listen to. But you know, we can allow the noise of our life to drown out what he wants us to hear. You know, we can also allow things. Love this song. I'm not alone. Sing it, Forrest. Don't do the dance, okay? All right, no, it's not what this is all about. This don't ruin the illustration. No, I'm kidding. Okay, sorry. Forrest came to church this morning, all right? Just saying. But think about it. It is easy for us to let our worship drown out his voice. I said, Pastor, does that really happen? Oh, yeah. We get so caught up in the things we do that we forget all about the relationship we have. And he desires to speak to us. You know what he says? Turn the music off. Let me, hey, push all the noise aside. I want to talk to you. You know where he talks to us? You know, we kind of don't think about it a lot, but this is how he talks to us, church. And if we don't spend time in this book, it's going to be really hard to hear his voice. It's going to be almost impossible, because the Bible says that we're to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. It's not just about reading it. It's not just about hearing the message in song. It's about doing what his word says. And really, if you're not staying attuned with him in his word, how are you going to know what direction he wants you to go? See, it all comes back to his voice. There is a servant in this story. There's submission by Mary and Joseph. But then lastly this morning, we see the sorrow. There is sorrow. Do you know that following Jesus is hard? It's difficult. We see that there are two avenues here. Simeon submitted his life. He followed him. He was just a servant. He was in the temple. This poor couple comes in. He takes the child. The Lord nudges him somehow and says, that's him. That's the one. He goes over. Can you imagine, as a parent, some stranger says, can I hold your kid? It's like a stranger coming up to you, moms, and you're expecting and say, can I touch your belly? Or they just do it. That's weird, okay? Don't. If you're in Walmart and you see a pregnant lady, that is not permission, okay? Don't ask. Well, what if I know him or not? Just don't. Just don't make it weird. But imagine this man comes over and says, I want to hold your child. And they let him. They let him take God. No. Back away. But they let him hold him. But his words speak two messages. Number one, his message would alter their mentality. It would alter their mentality. Look at verse 30 through 32. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Here it is, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, it was awesome that he was going to provide salvation. That's great. But it changed some things. See, they'd already believed that salvation was for the Jews, not for anybody else. He was their Messiah. He's ours. Nobody else's. And the Jewish people believed that because they were of the seed of Abraham, that they got first dibs. And you know what Simeon is saying? He's going to be everybody's Savior. He's here for everybody. Unto all that will call on him. And Jesus even taught this in his ministry. And when he did, it all hit the fan. Luke chapter 4, verse 28. And all day in the synagogue, Jesus is teaching in his hometown, in the temple, in the synagogue. And he starts speaking and saying, hey, I'm not just here for you guys. I'm here for all the people on the outside. And it says, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. They got a little miffed that Jesus was saying that salvation was for everybody. And what did they do? They were filled with wrath, rose up, threw him, thrust him out of the city, led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They're going to throw him over the cliff because of this. They were a little upset. I don't know that I've ever been that mad at somebody. I might have thought it, but I'm not going to do it. And they said, we're going to kill this guy. But including the Gentiles was the plan all along. Think about Romans chapter 1, verse 16, when Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's for all. Romans chapter 10, verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It was a mental shift, and they struggled to accept it. You know, that might be your story too, by the way. And we're almost done here. Maybe you grew up in a different church background, or maybe not at all. Maybe you grew up in a church that didn't sing at all, or didn't have a band, or didn't sing certain style of music, or you had a different version of the Bible, or whatever. But think about this. We're all struggling with change at times, aren't we? Just wait until January the 1st. When you step on the scale for the first time in a long time, you're going to struggle with some change. I'll ask next Sunday how many of you have already broken the resolution, okay? It's coming. There's a storm coming, all right? And you got to be ready for reality. It's coming. But think about this. Questioning that change isn't a bad thing. A hard heart that's willing to soften to the truth is a bad thing. We think about, we have to be willing to soften this. Psalm 95, verse 8, harden not your heart. Louis Giglio said it like this, when God breathes, he breathes on hard-hearted people. That's all of us. All of us. Jackie Pullinger said, God wants us to have soft hearts and hard feet. The trouble with so many of us is that we have hard hearts and soft feet. Not wanting to go where he leads, not wanting to follow like we should, and not wanting to be submissive to his plan. See, it altered their mentality, but then lastly, the words of Simeon would affect the heart of Mary. Look at verse 33. Last thought today. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them, all of them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, after telling them about all the Gentiles coming into this plan, this is God's plan of redemption, he blesses them. And then he turns to Mary with this very simple message. Many will rise and fall because of him. You know what that means? He is going to be a stumbling block for a lot of people. A lot of people are going to hear him and say, that's not who I want. That's not the Messiah I'm looking for. See, they didn't want a meek Messiah. They wanted a militant Messiah. Somebody who was going to come in and take over the regime. Who is going to set up his kingdom now. And doesn't that sound a lot like us? Hey, Lord, settle the score now. Strike them now. Bolt, you know, lightning bolt. Kill them. Now. It's not God's plan. It's not God's way. And Mary's heart was the one that was going to get crushed. He said, a sword shall pierce through thy soul. She heard the angel speak. She knew who he was. She saw what he was capable of. And the fact that people would reject him would crush her. You ever struggled when somebody doesn't accept your dreams and goals like you feel like God has put on your heart? Hey, God told me this. And by the way, don't use God as a crutch. If God didn't tell you that, don't take his name in vain and throw his name out there like he did when he didn't. That's another message a few weeks from now. But anyway, think about it like this. For us, when God speaks to us, don't expect everybody to be on board. They weren't with Jesus. And she knew who he was and what he was capable of, and people still rejected. His life was going to reveal the intents of people's hearts. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your life will tell the ultimate tale of whether or not you're going to follow Jesus. So think about it like this. Your life will be led by your heart, no matter what your mouth may say. Think about it. Your life will be led by your heart, no matter what your mouth says. I love Jesus. Does your life show that? Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Does your life tell that? What is it about your life today? Today, not next week. Today, the last Sunday of 2025. What is it about your life today that shows that you are a follower of Jesus? Are you following His way? Are you in His Word? Do you walk with Him? Is there a time every single day where you spend time with God? Because if you're not, hey, guess what? Your life says you're not following Jesus. No matter what our mouth says, our heart tells the truth all the time. So today, the details of our life matter. Do the details of your life point to Jesus or do they point to you? Are you listening to His leading? Are you listening to His voice when He speaks? Are you responding with a yes? Are you obeying Him no matter what it is? Are you following Him no matter what it costs? Hey, the last Sunday this year, let's end the year right, submitting to Him, saying, Lord, whatever you want from me this upcoming year, starting today, I submit. Starting today, I'll follow you no matter what it costs. Can we pray together this morning? As we close our service with a time, just a simple reflection. Simeon was a man who walked with God and obviously listened to the voice of God. There's no doubt there. But is Simeon's testimony a picture of your testimony? Do you listen to him? Not just hearing him, but do you say yes to him? Do you respond to him? When he speaks, do you answer and say, Lord, speak, I'm listening, I want to follow you? Is that your testimony today? Do you have a Simeon story in your life? Hey, today, the last Sunday of 2025, you can leave knowing, hey, I've got that settled in my heart. That's what I want my story to be. Where when he speaks, I answer. And I just give him what he needs. Hey, the altar's open. If you want to come and pray, you come on. If we want to finish out the year and say, hey, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord just to show me what he wants from me, what he expects of me. Hey, this is not what the preacher wants. This is not what your spouse wants or your family wants. This is what God wants. What does God want from you? What does God want your story to say? That's what this is about. So today, does your story line up with his? Maybe your story isn't even including him. Maybe you are not a follower of Jesus. Hey, could I encourage you? Get that settled. Jesus came, he was born, he lived, he died, he rose, so that he could offer you something that no one else can, and that's forgiveness of your sin. He loves you. And if you'll place your faith and trust in him, he'll save you. But you've got to want him to be your savior. You don't have to talk to a personal worker. You can. They're standing in the back, would love to pray with you, take the Bible and show you what it means to be a follower of Christ. But you don't need to talk to them. You need to talk to God. Right now in your seat, would you simply say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know if I die the way I am, I deserve to be separated from you because of my sin. But thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me and be my Savior and help me to follow you with the time that I have left. That's what a follower of Jesus is. Doesn't cost anything. We couldn't afford it. It cost Jesus everything. And all he wants from us is our trust. So if you're a follower of Jesus today, does your life show signs, evidence that you're walking with him? It's hard to do that if you don't spend time in his word. Hard to do that if you're not communicating with him. Hard to do that if we're not faithful. Are we following Jesus? Would you ask the Lord this morning As we get ready to close in a word of prayer, would you ask the Lord this morning to show you how you can walk with Him today?